Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have two sermon texts for this evening to be laid upon our hearts for our daily meditation. But the first will be read now and the other will be read during the sermon itself. So our first text is from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 19, found on page 5. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call the sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. In Christ Jesus, who was stripped of his clothes on the cross in order to shed his blood to cover our nakedness, dear fellow, redeemed. Our first parents in the Garden of Eden were naked. They were not ashamed. But when they sinned against God by eating of the forbidden fruit, they brought sin into this perfect world, and they were made aware of their nakedness. And they were ashamed. And so they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness, to cover their shame, to cover their sin. Nakedness and shame are equated in the Old Testament with sin. And ever since then, mankind has been trying to cover up his shame and cover up his sin with his own garments, his own works, his own deeds. But it doesn't work. It never does. After Adam and Eve were forced out of the Garden of Eden, the first thing God did for them was clothe them with animal skins. The fig leaves were not good enough because that was a reminder of their trying to hide their sin from the Lord. In reality, only God can cover our shame. Only God can cover our sins. And he chooses to do so only through the bloody sacrifice of his Son. Our society is filled with clothing stores, one after another. We love our clothes. Just look at my closet. I got lots of suits and ties. And I won't even ask you women how many shoes you have. We spend millions upon millions of dollars for clothes. Imagine if we'd have only one clothing store and they would produce only one set, one style of clothes for everybody to wear. That'd be absurd. How could we express our individualness? How could we ever live wearing the same thing day after day after day? Well, no matter how much money we spend on clothes, no matter how many changes of clothes we really have, what are we really covering up? What lurks beneath? Well, the easy answer is our nakedness, because we are proper and modest. But there's more to it than that. In Scripture, coverings, garments, and clothing that cover our nakedness is really covering our shame. When Adam and Eve made that fig leaf, sewed them together, they weren't just covering their nakedness, they were covering their shame, they were covering their sin, hoping that God, who walked and taught with them in the garden, wouldn't see it. But it was the wrong kind of garment. And you know, there are times when we wear beautiful clothes to also try and cover our spiritual nakedness. In other words, we try to deceive God into not seeing our sin or our shame. We want to ourselves cover up our sin. But it doesn't work. The Bible says, our man-made garments, they're like filthy, smelly rags. Our heart is filled with sin. It's filled with shame. If tonight the Lord would reveal all my sins and all your sins to each other, we'd really be ashamed, wouldn't we? Evil thoughts, sexual lusts, selfish wants, impure motives, jealousy, anger, envy, deceit, idolatry, strife. That's the condition of our hearts. That's our real inward being. That's our nakedness that we oftentimes try to hide from God. And so in an attempt to hide from God, we try to dress ourselves up with our good deeds. And yet God sees the truth. Oh, we may fool others around us by looking really good. Or others may fool us around us. But God sees directly into our hearts. From dust we came, and to dust we will return. Man is born in this world as a sinner, and he travels his whole life journey only to end up back where he began, back as dust. And all of our attempts to try to cover our shame, to cover our sins by our own doings, leads us to the same destination, death and dust. We are born to die. We are dust, and we shall return to dust. No amount of beautiful clothes or deeds or good works will change any of that. And into such a sorry spiritual state, the prophet Joel entered. God called Joel to proclaim his word to his wayward people, the Israelites. They had been unfaithful in word and in actions. They wandered away from the Lord God. They went a-whoring after other gods, committed spiritual adultery, which is idolatry, worshiped the false gods of the surrounding people. And so God said they would have a disaster come upon them. They'd be oppressed. They'd be downtrodden. They would suffer want, and they would weep in their despair. So Joel's proclamation to them was this: rend your hearts, not your garments. The ancient tradition was when you were shocked or distressed or sad, you would tear your garment to show such great sorrow. Well, Joel knows that rending and tearing your garments simply reveals a real problem, a sinful heart. Now, tearing and rending your heart, that's the beginning to a real solution of the problem. Rend your heart and not your garments. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Repent. Return to the Lord. The psalmist David, when he was led to repentance over his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, wrote in Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Repent. Turn to the Lord. And that's a journey. In the next 6 weeks, That will be our Lenten journey. A return from exile. For our sins have separated from us from our God. Because of our sins, we've been placed into exile as well. God has seen our sin and our shame, and our sin and our shame has taken us away from God, and we're in exile. And so Joel says to us, repent. Rend your hearts. Return to the Lord with repentant hearts. Put on sackcloth and ashes and repent. And that's why we've come here tonight, isn't it? This evening we come in God's house before our Heavenly Father to put on sackcloth and ashes, repent of our sins that we see every day, acknowledging that we are not strong enough, we are not good enough to be able to restore that oneness we once had with our Heavenly Father back in the beginning of time. We cannot get back from exile and now be one again with our Father. It is impossible for us. And the ashes then remind us of our sins. Our sin which separates us from our God. But the sign of the cross reminds us that our God is merciful and gracious. So Joel says to us who are hopeless and helpless sinners, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We who can do nothing for us have a God who has done everything for us. Again, sackcloth and ashes show us our sin, but the cross shows the true nature of our God. Isn't that amazing? The cross, which was an instrument for extreme torture, unspeakable death, was used by God to cleanse away all of our sins and to exchange our sinful, filthy garments. The cross which Jesus Christ was placed upon in our stead. The cross, the place where Jesus was stripped of his robe and all of our sins were revealed and shown as he was hanging there naked in our stead. For he who knew no sin, he who knew no shame, became sin and shame for every single one of us. But Jesus reveals our sins on the cross because he's showing to us that what he's doing is washing away those sins. He nailed those sins to the cross so they'd be cast in the depths of the sea, and he remembered them no more. They'd be as far apart as the east is from the west. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. A gracious and merciful God sent his Son into this world to take our place, said he would be exiled from his Heavenly Father, said our sins be washed away, and we'd be brought back into the presence of our God, returned from our exile on this Lenten journey. And this Lenten journey doesn't end at the cross. It doesn't even end at the empty tomb. It ends in the courts of heaven. And that's our theme for this evening. Sackcloth and ashes to robes of righteousness. Listen to the words of our second text. You can find them in your bulletin. The words of the Apostle John as he describes those who are gathered around the throne of the Lamb in his kingdom from Revelation 7, 9 to 14. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See that great multitude waving the palm branches in the air, standing around the Savior, worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Note that they're clothed with white robes. These are no fig trees, fig leaves that they're wearing. They're not adorned in filthy rags. They're clothed in white robes. Robes that have been cleansed with the shed blood of the Lamb. Their garments of sackcloth and ashes have been exchanged for robes of righteousness. The sackcloth and the ashes are gone. For Christ's journey to the cross has clothed his bride, his church, you and me, with the most beautiful of all garments. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our iniquities. The blood washes our robes and makes them dazzling white. For salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on that throne. Blackened, sin-filled, corrupt hearts, covered with fig leaves and animal behides. That was the cause, that was the reason for our exile in the first place. Exile from the presence of God. We repent of our sins in dust and ashes. We come before God with a broken heart, with repentance, sorrow-filled hearts. And God is gracious and merciful and full of steadfast love. He sends his Son in our place. Jesus willingly endures our suffering, endures our damnation. His shed blood washes us clean. We're restored with our Heavenly Father. Our sackcloth and ashes are exchanged for a robe of righteousness. The exile is over. The journey is finished. And we are returned to the presence of our Father, face to face with our God. And we will rejoice throughout eternity. Rejoice in those robes of righteousness that our bridegroom gives to us, his bride. Thanks be to the Lamb. Amen.